Miami, July 5th and July 31st. Ice Cube's Big 3 is back at the Amerant Bank Arena. Featuring big stars like Dwight Howard, Joe Johnson, Lance Stephenson, and more. And featuring your home team, the Miami 305, led by Michael Beasley. Grab your tickets now at big3.com/tickets or Ticketmaster. Presented by iHeart.
Hallelujah. Here we go. It is finally here, folks. Ohio State opening training camp on Thursday morning. And we get three practices to watch. Thursday, Friday, oh my gosh, what a perfect number. It's That's a three things Thursday for the first day of camp. Welcome to The Beat, the Austin and Berm Show. I am Austin and he is Berm. And we have three things that we could be looking for as Ohio State hits the practice field at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. Berm, been excited all week. And now it's even better because the offseason is dead and buried and training camp is here.
Absolutely. Did you see earlier this week, or maybe it was over the weekend, there was a SEC affiliated national columnist slash voice box who said that talking season was over and that he was now firmly in one camp of the automatic qualifiers and the playoff thing, where he said that one side wants to earn it on the field and the other wants to put the best teams in. I know which side I'm on. And I was like, I don't get it, because isn't the point of playing it on the field to see what the best teams are?
I would think that earning it on the field would give you more insight to who the best teams were. So I don't know how that can be an either or argument.
Yeah, it was pretty dumb. And I just wanted to start off this episode of The Beat by pointing out that it's pretty dumb.
Well, if your point is we can be done with
mindless talking season,
playoff format debates, NIL conversation, transfer portal madness, and we can just talk about football, I'm all for it. Now, I know that there are probably going to be things that transpire in August that deflect our conversation in other directions, but it's not going to be today, because Ohio State practices and people can watch it, including us. So yeah. I've done this a few times, including on a Talking Tuesday with Adam King on Tuesday, looking at and projecting some things that I wanted to watch. Now it's your turn, Berm, and you can't do the quarterback.
Turn and Berm. That's a, we got a new show idea.
Yeah, we just added into the repertoire. You can't do the quarterbacks. We've already talked about it too much as it is, and we're going to see them. And I bet we talk about them on Snap Judgments after practice on 97.1 The Fan, 10TV, 10TV Plus, and all audio platforms. But let's remove that from today's conversation as we get set for camp. Where's the first place you will look?
I mean, quarterbacks, definitely.
Oh. No,
just kidding. No, here's the thing. You know me, so you know the first thing I'm thinking about as we head outside.
Honors, baby.
Weather. Are we going to be able to get this done outside? When I looked earlier on Wednesday morning, which is when we're recording this, I saw that there was like a good chance of thunderstorms in Columbus on Thursday morning. And then as I checked right before we began recording this, it said it was like an 18% chance of rain. So I'm looking up. Hopefully that doesn't change, because I think when football season starts, the worst thing, and this is one thing I hate about spring practice, is when we get there and we have to just stand inside. Like, it doesn't feel like football to me when we're standing inside. So I'm hoping first and foremost, we get a chance to have the crowd lined up alongside of the fields, the outdoor practice fields at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, and give the players a chance to connect with fans right away. Because to me, if I go back to last year, the one thing that still stands out to me from these viewing opportunities that we had in August was the moment when Will Howard walked out the first time and immediately went to the fans and began endearing himself to people who were still extremely skeptical of him as a potential Ohio State quarterback, as a team leader, as a guy who came from Kansas State and was lowly recruited. And seeing in that moment, I remember talking about it on Snap Judgments after that practice, like, that is a guy that gets it. So at the risk of taking the 10,000-foot view, I'm interested in looking at who gets it and who is out there and is embracing the moment. I know we're going to see that out of guys like Jermaine Matthews, for example. Like, I know we're going to see that out of people like Brandon Innes, for example. But is there somebody else that maybe is in a position where there's uncertainty about them or people don't know anything about them that really gets out there and connects with people. And so that brings me to my first point, which is the people, the things I'm most interested to see are the guys we haven't seen. Because while we do get a ton of opportunities to interact with the team throughout the year now in this new world of college football, and most of these guys are early enrollees and most players are there from January on, the new spring transfer portal window and just a handful of summer enrollees has me wondering about the new guys. And that starts specifically with Bo Atkinson. I want to see how he fits into this system, how he fits in as a player, how he fits in as a person. But that also is about Justin Terry, the West Virginia transfer who we've not seen. That also is about Turbo Rogers, the running back freshman from Alabama, who we don't really expect to have a role this year, but maybe in like a return game type of situation. I want to see physically what he looks like compared to the Ohio State Buckeyes, because he's a smaller guy to begin with, and he didn't get in January to have the benefit of the Mick Marotti strength and conditioning program. I'm interested in seeing Brody Lennon coming from basically a Division VIII type of school in Ohio at the Gilmore Academy as a tight end. Physically, I know what Brody looks like, but how can he keep up with the speed of practice even when it's not a full speed practice? Those are the things that I'm looking forward to the most on Thursday, if I'm being honest, because it's like we just haven't been able to put eyes on these guys and now we can.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of great points all packed into there.
You weren't expecting me to go there. I love when I get you.
Yeah, no, you did. And it's a great point, because Will Howard set down a marker on day one. The engagement with the fans is one thing, but then the way that he communicated and the way that the rest of the Buckeyes listened to him, like, we don't get to see a ton of full padded practices. I don't know if we'll even see any of them this month. That's a product of opening with Texas and having a quarterback competition ongoing, that sort of gets scaled back. Understand, I'm not mad about it at all. Totally get it. We'll do the best with whatever is available to us from Ohio State. There's still plenty of days to talk to the players and the coaching staff throughout the month. So got to maximize those opportunities. And some of those lasting impressions we got were, who were the guys that wanted the community engagement both inside the locker room and out? And Will Howard did that. Travion Henderson did that. And you make a list. These are the ones that sort of get it. And that doesn't mean that you have to do that to be really successful, because I don't think that if Jeremiah Smith goes over there, he won't be able to leave for 2 hours. And that's probably too much time required of him because of his popularity. Same for Caleb Downs, potentially Sonny Styles, although I bet Sonny will do that anyway because he doesn't seem to mind. But who are the rest of those guys that do some of the leadership things, those public facing roles, voice of the Buckeyes type stuff, that you do get to see that on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Does somebody do it on Thursday and then it's like, I'm good, I did my part? Or do they do it all 3 days? Because that's what Will Howard and Travion Henderson did. They're going to be the first ones out there. They're going to see every kid that's out there, and they want them to leave with a positive impression. And then they want to go have a good practice after that. Like, there is still practice. It isn't just a fan event and an autograph signing. These are the first three practices of camp. So I think that's a great point. And the first name that you mentioned is exactly where I'm looking as well, with Bo Atkinson, in terms of, you know, getting eyeballs on. I hadn't seen him in any of the June one day recruiting camps when we got to see the current Buckeyes. I haven't talked to him yet. I know that he was at one of the camps in July, and there were interviews with him from some other media outlets. But, you know, he has not practiced at Ohio State yet. And I think that there is an assumption out there that he, And I would agree with the assumption, he was brought into Ohio State for a reason, and Bo Atkinson expects to have a prominent role for Ohio State. But I can't sit here and just say, well, he's automatically going to start ahead of Caden Curry or Kenyatta Jackson. We know one of those things is certainly not going to happen based on the way Kenyatta Jackson is being talked about. And I think it's unlikely given the way Caden Curry continues to be talked about, but we'll see. Like, I don't know. I don't have an opinion yet, other than Bo Atkinson was, you know, reasonably productive again for North Carolina, but not entirely. I don't know that the consistency of the statistical output leaps off the page for him. So let's see what that looks like throughout camp. I do think that there are expectations for him, or Ohio State would not have brought somebody in the April portal window. But How did he change his body? What does that look like? Is there a possibility that he could play three tech for this team? I don't know the answer to that. We're going to find out in August.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not just Bo Atkinson. It's Logan George. It's guys who was a dude of the week in Ohio State's latest post. They've apparently been catching up some weeks because we spent all Wednesday morning talking about dudes of the weeks, assuming that they were done. And then Ohio State released a final tweet with three more dudes of the week, Luke Montgomery, Logan George, and Jermaine Matthews. So the fact of the matter is, like, we're seeing a group, especially on the defensive line, that, again, these practices are not necessarily the most informative when it comes to rotational stuff or who's playing well or who's, because a lot of these guys have no idea what they're really doing. Logan George should have a leg up on Bo Atkinson and that he's been through Ohio State practices before. But for Bo Atkinson, I saw him, I think, one time this summer at a, you know, one day recruiting camp. And first thing that pops off the page is like the size. He's a legitimate 6'5", 265, 270 pounds. And that feels like the prototypical Ohio State defensive end that we've seen in the last handful of years with Jack and JT, at least. And how that impacts Caden Curry, I think, is super interesting because you say maybe Bo Atkinson can play three tech. And I think, well, maybe it means more opportunity for Caden Curry to move inside where his quickness and his hands are devastating in that role. And his energy is tough to match. Either way, though, I think the important thing with Atkinson is seeing how quickly he gets it. And is the communication there? Is he understanding his assignments? Is he waiting to see Kenyatta and Caden and other guys go through the drills, or is he jumping in front of the line and taking on a leadership position? Because again, when I go back to Will Howard from last summer and last fall, the thing that stood out to me, even when he arrived last January, was that he never presumed he was anything but the guy. And I think that that's an important characteristic for a player at Ohio State, because so much of the Ohio State program is predicated on that confidence and on the ability to be a type A leader right away. Because if you don't get it, if you don't have that right away, it's easy to fall behind. And it's especially easy to fall behind when you're playing and competing against players who have been there for 3-4 years.
Yeah. And I think if you go back to day one or day two a year ago, or spring camp a year ago, Devin Brown was leading that line. He was the veteran guy. He was taking the first reps because, and Will Howard had no issue with that. He had not earned it yet at Ohio State. What he had accomplished at Kansas State helped him here. It did not establish him in Columbus. And I think he let that process play out until it was clear that it was going to be his team. And that was, you could see that that was building on day one, but it hadn't been done yet at the start of August. So that's significant. Like, when you say, will he jump in front of the line? I bet he doesn't, because he didn't get to go through spring.
I don't mean push your way in front of guys that have been there. I understand that point. I mean, we've seen it at other situations. Some guys will slink to the back and some guys will move to the front. And maybe you're not jumping in front of Kenyatta Jackson. I don't think that I would recommend doing that. But I would think that being right next to Kenyatta Jackson, if you want to play alongside Kenyatta Jackson, you need to wait alongside Kenyatta Jackson. You need to be learning from Kenyatta Jackson. You need to be learning from Caden Curry. If the younger guys, if Dominic Kirks and Josh Mickens are taking their reps, and I don't see Bo Atkinson talking to Kenyatta Jackson or talking to Caden Curry or to Miguel Patrick or Larry Johnson, then my ears perk up and I say, hey, is he absorbing this or is he just there? And it's, again, I know nothing about Bo Atkinson as a person or even really as a player other than what the statistical output from his time at North Carolina shows. So I don't mean to come across in any way suggesting that that's like something we've heard that is a possibility, but when you're asking, what are we looking for? That's certainly what we're looking for. And I feel the same way about even younger guys like Mylon Graham, who, you know, we've talked a lot about this summer. We have glossed over Bryson Rogers a number of times, and I think maybe that's unfair because I don't believe it's wise to assume that Mylon Graham is going to be ahead of Bryson Rogers in any way, shape, or form as camp starts. So I want to see is Mylon taking on that type of role, or you know, is a player like James Peoples, is he letting other people lead at running back, or is he the one stepping up? Like, those are the things that I really watch on day one. I think that those characteristics and those traits are far more visible and far more easily evaluated on a day like Thursday and Friday than they are once the season's really underway.
Are you telling me to cool it with the Mylon Graham stuff? Is that what you're saying?
No, no, no. He's as talented as
anybody. I'm not going to do it, Berm.
He's as talented as anybody on the roster, not named Jeremiah Smith at wide receiver, but I do want to see, like, again, I say this stuff all the time, and it's partly because I firmly believe it, partly because I want people to understand that it's likely true, is that the personality type at Ohio State oftentimes determines your success far more than your physical attributes. Everyone at Ohio State is really talented. Everyone at Ohio State was the best player to ever play in their high school. Like that's a pretty standard baseline for being at Ohio State. But the ability to get out there and to not shy away from the spotlight is a totally different thing. And I think that some guys get to Ohio State and allow the scope of the entire program to shrink them. And some of it's just because it's their natural personality. Some of it's because they are trying to develop into being a different type of man. And that's what college is supposed to be about anyway. Then you add the football element, and it can be just a very interesting opportunity for us to see these kids grow up. And, you know, we've seen it already with Jeremiah this offseason and him taking on a more vocal role. And I don't expect Mylon Graham to be in that sort of outgoing position, but I would like to see a step up in his visibility when it comes to being out there and being demonstrative and being a leader.
Well, here's a spoiler for you, Berm. This is going to happen on Snap Judgments.
Woo.
They're going to be mostly running routes on air. They might go a little 7-on-7. There won't be full contact. Mylon Graham's going to have that number 5 jersey on. Fans will be watching. Someone's going to be like, is that Garrett Wilson over out there? And I'm like, no, it's just the next Garrett Wilson. And then he's going
to
make
to yourself.
That's the question. I'm going to be over
you're
there.
You're the person who's going to say, is that Garrett Wilson out there?
I already know. It's, I mean, yeah, I already know it's not.
That's the spoiler alert. You're the one who's going to say that.
He's going to make a catch during practice on Thursday. I just know it. I feel it.
I bet he makes a catch too.
I mean, I'm talking about one that everyone is talking about. And I feel it in my bones. And then we're going to talk about it in Snap Judgments.
I hope that's the case. I believe nothing more than firm, fast, like competitive, aggressive, fighting bulls running into each other, Billy mountain goats jamming each other's heads into each other's heads. Like that's what I want to see at football practice. So I hope he does that from a, you know, not literal standpoint, but just a guy out there making plays and forcing you to pay attention to him. That's what I want to see out of players who are 5-star recruits. I want to see like demand that people talk about you. And I think that it's easy sometimes for guys to slink into the background when people or whatever he is, like Jeremiah Smith exists.
If the Buckeyes are headbutting each other on Thursday morning, we're going to have a very interesting episode of Snap Judgments later on.
I'll do it.
All right. Third thing to deviate away from what we're watching is a question that, a philosophical question that you had about what makes the first day of practice a success.
Yeah, because it's hard when we're out there on a day like Thursday, when there isn't real football being played, when there isn't a lot of contact happening, when there aren't live bullets to use the parlance of our time flying around out there. So like what matters? What makes it a success? I think the first and most obvious thing to say is that get out healthy, right? You don't want to see anybody. We saw it last year with Tyreek Williams, like 2 reps into the day, having to come off the field and put a knee brace on. And in the whole month of August, was Tyreek okay? Is Tyreek okay? We saw it with Donovan Jackson. Like, why isn't he out there? Like, so as long as you get out there, and this is a little different circumstance than last year. And by a little, I mean a lot, because there's no, you know, last year's team was 80% guys that we knew were going to be the starters, and they played 2,000 reps, and they didn't need a lot of this other informational, instructional type of practice. That is not the case for this year's team. So missed reps and having to come off the field for nagging injuries on day one, I think is a really bad problem to have if you're an Ohio State football player or any football player on day one, right? What else?
Yeah, I think, this is what, 14th season covering 14th. Ohio State, and then some before that at Tennessee and Wyoming. So I've heard all the coach speak, and I know that the way that they're going to talk about the first practice, and oh, there's a long way to go, and this wasn't real football yet, and we didn't hit each other. So What are they actually looking for? By and large, every assistant coach and the head coach are hoping that they don't have to restart a drill. So what does that mean? Knowing where you're supposed to be, getting there with urgency, practicing with energy, executing at a high level. But I've seen this not every year, but a lot of years. And it doesn't mean that you can't catch back up later. But if you have to restart a drill on day one, and I've seen coaches do it, I've seen this coaching staff do it, and I've seen the one before it do it, they don't like it. And it can help you send a message that, hey, summer's over, snap back in. This is training camp. That is what acclimation periods are for, is so that once the pads are going, you're not wasting time, you're not wasting opportunity, you're not wasting hits on the body, but get to where you're supposed to go. And a true freshman, someone who showed up in late May or early June, they've never done this before. It's fine if they make mistakes, but you know, make sure that, as you mentioned earlier, follow the veterans, follow the line, make sure that you're not the one that's tripping things up for somebody else, because there are a lot of new starters on this team. We've made that point a ton. They have to replace the veteran leadership and the guys who it was, they knew the order of the drills and the way that they were going to be executed like the back of their hand. That's not going to be the case for the vast majority of these guys, at least being front of the line or for the freshmen doing it for the first time. There may be moments of confusion, but Ohio State's got to get past that quickly. This month, you know, Ryan Day has been doing this countdown to the Texas game since the end of the national championship. He is not going to want to waste a single moment, including on day one. So, you know, make sure that you know what you're doing and don't force Carlos Lachlan to make you do up downs because you didn't show up to the running back drill on time.
Yeah, these 30 days between now and the Texas game are going to go by real damn quick. Let's just be upfront about that. I asked one of the Ohio State assistant coaches, I'm not going to say the name, but I asked what makes day one a success because I wanted it from their perspective. And this is what I was told. Communication and effort, number one, because they're all super fresh. No one's hurt. So it's about elite communication and being mentally clean, making sure you understand your alignment, making sure you understand your reads, and knowing that even if you're not out there hitting somebody on day one, even if you're not out there, you know, trying to shed a block on day one, you can get behind, and your standing with your position coach can change on day one. And it is hard to get back because that day one is the coach's opportunity to evaluate what you put in by yourself and how much you were committed over the last couple of months and how ready you were for what they were going to throw at you. And the thing that we will learn about this Ohio State team and every other Ohio State team and every other college team throughout the history of the sport is that if your coach doesn't trust you, you don't play. And that starts like tomorrow. That starts today. That starts Saturday. So if you're not ready to go mentally and you're not out there, and if you have a question, you better ask it. If you have a thought, or if one of your teammates isn't holding up the standard and you're letting it slip, then that is on you. It's not on them. And so I think that is the stuff that really ultimately defines success for these few days. And so for fans who are going, I think it's important to know that you might not see huge plays being made left and right, but the little things and the details are where the championships ultimately get won. And that is what you can really see as we get out there on Thursday morning.
Yeah. I mean, acclimation period, these practices are not like, well, we're going to ease into it. Like vacation's not quite over yet. You have to make the most of it because at the end of the acclimation period, you're putting on pads and you're hitting and competing against some of the best football players on God's green earth. Like it's going to be physical. The month is going to be a grind. If you don't take these 3 days and maximize them, then as you said, next week you fall behind. And this train does not slow down at Ohio State. They are barreling towards an opener against Texas. And if it looks like there's any question, any doubts in the mind of the Ohio State coaching staff, then they're going to look for the next thing because they don't want to go out and look confused or embarrassed against Texas. Like they know that they won a national championship, but the honeymoon would be a short one if they go out and don't look like the Ohio State Buckeyes or look like the reigning national champions at the end of August.
Attacking national champion.
That's right. Great term for it. I love that part. We're going to attack and dominate the coverage the next 3 days, or at least we're going to do our very best during the acclimation period. If you're out there, want to come say hello, please do. The Fan will also have live broadcast going on. Morning Juice will be out there. T-Bone and Tyvus will be out there. Bishop and Friends will be out there. We will be out there. If you want to come chat with us, we'd love to say hello as well. Really excited because this offseason has been long and difficult and pretty unusual. And now
it's over.
Now we're getting ready to get back to the business of talking football and not talking nonsense. Although I bet there's a good chance that we do that too. We'll see you for some snap judgments after practice number one at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. Enjoy your Thursday from the Austin and Berm Show on the Beat. I am Austin. He is Berm. So long.
Miami, July 5th and July 31st. Ice Cube's Big 3 is back at the Amerant Bank Arena. Featuring big stars like Dwight Howard, Joe Johnson, Lance Stevenson, and more. And featuring your home team, the Miami 305, led by Michael Beasley. Grab your tickets now at big3.com/tickets or Ticketmaster. Presented by iHeart.